Welcome to episode 3 in Lent, AD 2018. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. In previous episodes, I discussed in episode 1 the origin and meaning of the season and the two 1928 Book of Common Prayer services for Ash Wednesday, including the appropriate music. And in episode 2, other traditions of Lent, plus the Collect, Epistle, and Gospel readings, and appropriate music for the first 4 Sundays in Lent. Now, in episode 3, the final episode in the series, the focus is on the 5th Sunday in Lent, commonly called Passion Sunday, the 6th Sunday in Lent, commonly called Palm Sunday, and the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion services during Holy Week, through Easter Eve, the final day of Lent. The Collect for the 5th Sunday in Lent is another composition by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, adapted from the Gregorian Sacramentary for the 1549 Book of Common Prayer, the first prayer book of the Church of England. Passion Sunday marks the start of the celebration of Passiontide, the beginning of the transition from penitential Lent to the celebration of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. The Roman Catholic Church officially ceased designating 5th Sunday in Lent as Passion Sunday in 1959 AD. In many English churches, they switch from the penitential purple to red during Passiontide, but most American Anglicans' parishes continue the use of purple for vestments, paraments, and the draping of crosses. Now here is the Collect. We beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The illustration is an oil on canvas of Archbishop Cranmer, painted from life by court painter Gerlach Flick in 1545 AD in the collection of the National Portrait Gallery in London, England. The epistle reading for the 5th Sunday in Lent is Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 15. Hebrews is traditionally credited to the Apostle Paul. The author describes Jesus Christ as, quote, high priest, unquote, an allusion to the mysterious Melchizedek in the Old Testament, and is also known as the mediator of the new covenant in verses 11 and 15. The 1928 Book of Common Prayer calls Jesus, quote, our only mediator and advocate at the end of the prayer for the state of Christ's church in Holy Communion. He is further called the, quote, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, in verse 11, a concept illustrated in the Eastern Orthodox icon, not made with hands, which originated in the Syrian church around the 4th or 5th century A.D. The author also declares that, quote, the blood of Christ, unquote, purges dead works, in verse 14. The Gospel reading for the 5th Sunday in Lent, or Passion Sunday, is John 8, 46 to 59, which is a continuation of the lengthy dialogue in John 8 between Jesus and a group of Jewish leaders over the meaning of the word Father and of Jesus' true identity. The Jews called Abraham their father and accused Jesus of being demonic. He replied in verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. He speaks an offer of eternal life in verse 51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. The heat of the exchange increases dramatically at the end when Jesus boldly proclaims, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, in verse 56, to which they heatedly pointed out that he was not yet 50 and yet claimed to have met Abraham. His reply is one of the most quoted of the I Am sayings in the Gospel of St. John, from verse 58, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I discussed the Greek words for I am, ego, eimi, in episodes 29 to 35 in the AIC Bible Study video series, New Testament Gospels. This reading from John 8 is discussed in detail in episodes 32 and 33. All episodes from the series are linked from the digital library page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The illustration is an 18th century Russian Orthodox icon of St. John in the iconostasis at the Church of the Transfiguration, Kizhi Monastery in Karelia, Russia. Suggested music in the St. Chrysostom hymnal for Passion Sunday includes, as an opening hymn, the 6th century Latin hymn, The Royal Banners Forward Go, written by Venantius Honorius Fortunatus, here using John Mason Neal's 1851 AD translation, and arranged to the easily sung 16th century tune, Talus Canon. As a sequence or sermon hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, by English writer Jeanette Threlfall, set to Ellicombe. And as a closing hymn, another composition by Venantius Fortunatus, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle, reset to the 18th century English tune St. Thomas, familiar to Anglicans from its use with both the Advent hymn, Lo He Comes, with clouds descending, and the communion hymn, Now My Tongue, the Mystery Telling. The modern observance of the sixth Sunday in Lent, labeled in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer as Sunday next before Advent, but before Easter, but more commonly known as Palm Sunday, dates to the early and middle 4th century, by which time the center of gravity of Christianity had shifted sharply westward to the region of present-day Croatia and Serbia. The most critical events, were the conversion of the Roman Emperor Constantine to Christianity, the enthusiasm of his mother, St. Helen, for the rediscovery of Christianity's roots in the Holy Land, and the relocation of the empire from Rome to Constantinople. St. Helen sponsored archaeological projects in or near Jerusalem and Bethlehem, including the sites of the Nativity, the Crucifixion and Burial, and the remains of the Holy Cross. Under her sponsorship, churches were built at the Nativity site in Bethlehem, now known as the Church of the Nativity, and the Crucifixion and Burial, called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre at Jerusalem. She and others sought out old liturgies of the early church. New liturgies were written for use in the Byzantine church. And the start of pilgrimages to the Holy Land on a grand scale was owed largely to the efforts of St. Helen. The illustration is a 19th century stained glass window honoring St. Helen, or Helena in the Greek tradition, from the workroom of the noted stained glass studio of John Richard Clayton and Alfred Bell at All Saints Anglican Church in Rome, Italy, near the famed Spanish Steps. The large red cross honors her sponsorship of the discovery of the remains of the Holy Cross. The scriptural warrant for the name Palm Sunday is St. John's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, a great multitude that had come to the feast, meaning Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. That's John 12, verses 12 and 13a. The Gospels of St. Matthew and St. Mark refer to tree branches, and St. Luke's account makes no mention of foliage, referring only to garments strewn in Jesus' path. The illustration is James T. So's version of the entry into Jerusalem rendered in opaque watercolor over graphite on gray wove paper, painted between 1884 and 1894 AD as part of T. So's Life of Christ series. The Brooklyn Museum purchased them and released them into the public domain. The ceremonial use of palms goes as far back as 1400 BC, as noted in Leviticus 23, verses 39 to 40, in the context of a victory celebration. More recently, around 100 BC, they are similarly associated with triumph in 1 Maccabees chapter 13, verse 51. Near the end of the first century, St. John described a white-robed multitude from all, quote, nations, tribes, people, and tongues, unquote, before the Lamb with palm branches in Revelation 7, verse 9. In other Christian traditions, especially in colder climates where palms do not grow, other plants are used, including pussy willow branches or branches of olive or yew trees. In some countries, lilac flowers are spread instead. In many countries, the day is named after the local flower or tree used in the procession, examples being yew, flower, or branch Sunday. The illustration is a medieval Romanesque-style apse fresco at an unidentified Lutheran church in the Jutland region on the north end of Denmark. In Anglican worship, another tradition may be honored, the blessing of the palms used in the processional on Palm Sunday. In my former parish, I place fan palms on the end of the pews with a few strewn on the center aisle of the nave. Palm Sunday being the first time processionals were permitted in our jurisdiction during Lent. Parishioners carried one of these palms down the aisle behind the procession of clergy to the altar. The palms were kept by the parishioners until after the homily when the parishioners were given the opportunity to have their palms blessed using this traditional English blessing of the palms. Bless, O Lord, we beseech thee these branches of the palm tree, and grant that what thy people show forth corporally for thy honor, they may perform spiritually with great devotion, and by ardently loving good works may at last gain victory over their enemy. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth, God, world without end. Amen. Afterward, the people could take their palms away to use at home, many making personal crosses from them. Traditionally, leftover palms are burned to make ashes for the following year's observance of Ash Wednesday. The illustration is a detail from a Byzantine-style mosaic of the entry into Jerusalem at the Basilica in the Palace of the Normans in Palermo, Sicily, built by the Norman kings of Sicily in the 12th century. In Christian theology, based upon the gospel accounts, Jesus' use of a donkey is interpreted as the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, as quoted in John 12, verse 15. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. All the accounts also quote from Psalm 118, verse 26, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The illustration is a 15th century Russian Orthodox icon of the entry into Jerusalem at the city of Tver in Russia. The collect for Palm Sunday was created by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer based upon a collect from the Gregorian Sacramentary, to which he added his own closing line. The lowly in the quotation from Zechariah in the previous slide is reflected in the phrase, his great humility. Almighty and everlasting God, who of thy tender love towards mankind hast sent thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The illustration is the cover of a 1662 Book of Common Prayer from the collection in the National Portrait Gallery in London, England. The epistle reading for Palm Sunday is Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, in which St. Paul touches upon themes that were widely known in the early church before the Nicene and Apostles' Creed and were called by the name kerygma. That is a Greek word meaning to proclaim or more broadly the proclamation of the truths of the gospel, that is, that Jesus is Lord of all, the divine Son, the equal with God the Father, who came in the form of man and who willingly died upon the cross for the salvation of mankind, fulfilling the salvational plan of the Father. To this, St. Paul adds a resounding sentence, which is the inspiration for bowing when crossing in front or approaching the altar, and for many Christians making the sign of the cross whenever the name of Jesus is spoken. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in verse 11. The illustration is an early 20th century mosaic of St. Paul at the Romanian Orthodox Patriarchal Cathedral in Bucharest, Romania, which was built in the 11th century. The mosaic was added during a 1923 restoration and repair project. The gospel reading for Palm Sunday is not the gospel account of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which is read on the first Sunday in Advent. In its place, Matthew 27:1-54, St. Matthew's account of Jesus' trial, sentencing, crucifixion, and death upon the cross. Important references in the reading include the inscription placed over his head in verse 37, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Rediscovery of portions of the plaque was credited to St. Helen, the mother of Constantine in the 4th century, mentioned in an earlier episode. Jesus' cry from the cross, spoken in Aramaic, which in the King James Version or prayer book text is rendered as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And following the tearing of the veil in the temple, the earthquake, and the darkness, and the appearance of the dead, the centurion's cry in verse 54, "Truly this was the Son of God." The illustration is a Polish icon of the crucifixion painted in the second half of the 16th century and now in the collection of the Historical Museum in Sanok, Poland. Suggested music for Palm Sunday in the St. Chrysostom hymnal includes St. Theodulf's early 9th century hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," using John Mason Neal's 19th century translation and arranged to the early 17th century tune, "St. Theodulfus," which is typically used as an opening hymn. Other hymns for the day are Ride On in Majesty," written by Henry Hart Milman in 1827 AD and arranged to Winchester New. And another composition by Venatius Honorius Fortunatus, "See the Destined Day Arise," using Richard Mann's 1837 translation and arranged to the easily sung tune Monkland. The week which begins with Palm Sunday is known as Holy Week. The 1928 Book of Common Prayer provides Holy Communion texts, including a collect, epistle, and gospel reading for each day through Easter Eve. Of these, in modern times, only Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday and Good Friday are generally celebrated in any but the largest parishes. Holy Week is celebrated in Anglican worship with more solemnity and less celebration than in some other Christian traditions, which include grand parades and bright colors. The illustration is a detail from a 16th century Russian Orthodox icon of Jesus washing the disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday, described in John 13:1-15. Since the services for Holy Week are no longer in widespread use, I have included them here with a short summary of the epistle and gospel readings for each. For Monday before Easter, also called Holy Monday, the collect is from the American tradition written by the Reverend Dr. William Reed Huntington, a member of the Committee on Prayer Book Revision, which produced the 1892 Book of Common Prayer. Dr. Huntington, pictured in a memorial biography published after his death in 1909, was rector of Grace Church, New York City, and the author of a formative essay published in 1870, which led to the Chicago-Lambeth Quadrilateral, a four-point statement of Anglican doctrine, which until recent times was widely accepted by Anglicans worldwide. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The For the Epistle reading, another of the prayer book's reliance upon Old Testament connections as understood in traditional Christianity during major feasts of the church, is from Isaiah 63, verses 1 to 19, and it is a lament of the people on account of the troubled relationship between God and his chosen people, with imagery suggestive of Christ's passion and a reference to a, quote, grieved Holy Spirit. The illustration is a detail from the 11th century mosaic of Isaiah at the Neomone Monastery, Chios, Greece. The gospel reading is Mark 14, 1-72, which is St. Mark's account of Jesus' final days, including his visit to Bethany, the Last Supper, and the institution of the sacrament of Holy Communion, the prophecies of Judas's betrayal and of St. Peter's three denials, his hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his arrest on Maundy Thursday. The account ends with St. Peter's denial of Jesus. The illustration is a detail from an 18th-century Russian Orthodox icon of St. Mark at the Church of the Transfiguration, Kizhi Monastery, Karelia, Russia. The identity of the author of the collect for Tuesday before Easter, also called Holy Tuesday, is unknown. It is thought to have been based upon Isaiah 8. O Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, gave his back to the smiters and hid not his face from shame, grant us grace to take joyfully the suffering of the present time in full assurance of the glory that shall be revealed through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The For the Epistle reading is again from Isaiah, this time chapter 50, verses 5-11, an Old Testament prophecy spoken by God of Jesus' suffering, humiliation, including being spat upon. In the Gospel reading, Mark 15, verses 1-39, St. Mark continues his account of Jesus' last days begun in the reading for Monday before Easter and covering the same events described in the Gospel of St. Matthew, which were read on Palm Sunday. The collect for Wednesday before Easter, commonly called Holy Wednesday, is an adaptation of the collect for Vespers from the Sarum Breviary. Assist us mercifully with thy help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the meditation of those mighty acts, whereby thou hast given unto us life and immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The epistle reading is Hebrews 9, verses 16-28. A comparison of the blood sacrifices for remission of sin in the Old Testament to Jesus' sacrifice of himself, quote, to bear the sins of many, unquote, and a prophecy of his coming again in verse 28. The gospel reading is the entire text of Luke chapter 22, St. Luke's account of the same events described by St. Matthew and St. Mark in previous gospel readings during Holy Week. The collect for Thursday before Easter, more commonly known as Maundy Thursday, but also called Holy Thursday, is another composition by Dr. Huntington. Not surprisingly, given the solemnity of the occasion, it is the longest of the collects in Holy Week. Dr. Huntington uses a phrase derived from early Eastern Church tradition to describe the sacrament of Holy Communion as, quote, these holy mysteries. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered did institute the sacrament of his blood, of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may thankfully receive the same in remembrance of him, who in these holy mysteries giveth us a pledge of life eternal. The same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who now liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The epistle reading is 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26, which is the origin of the opening section of the Canon of the Mass in Anglican Communion. The rite is often called the Pauline Rite, or sometimes the Clementine Rite, after the Bishop of Rome appointed by St. Paul in the late 1st century. For Thursday before Easter or Maundy Thursday, the 1928 Book of Common Prayer provides two gospel readings. The first choice is Luke 23, verses 1-49, St. Luke's account of Good Friday, beginning with the trial before Pilate, then Herod, and ending with the observer's reaction to Jesus' death upon the cross. The second choice is John 23, verses 1-15, is St. John's unique account of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples on Maundy Thursday evening, not long before his arrest. Based on the Holy Communion with foot washing for Maundy Thursday, which I researched and wrote for my former parish, the AIC bookstore publication Occasional Services for Anglican Worship offers on pages 53-73 an additional resource for Anglicans for a complete service with foot washing for Maundy Thursday. It uses as its base the 1549 Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion liturgy. It includes three collects, the 1928 BCP, the Scottish Collect, and the 1928 Lenten Collect. An Old Testament reading from Exodus 12, 1-14, and in place of a regular psalm reading, a verse and response reading adapted from Psalm 116, verses 12-16. The complete text for the administration of foot washing is placed after the reading of the gospel lesson, which is the 1928 BCP text of John 13, 1-15. The book is available in both paperback and Kindle editions using the virtual bookstore link at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Another Anglican tradition of Lent following the model of the Western Church is the ritual of the stripping of the altar, which is carried out at the end of the last service on Maundy Thursday. Crosses, including those on the altar and processional crosses, are draped usually in black, but some parishes use purple. In larger churches, statues and anything shiny are often covered. In my former parish, the lights over the altar were extinguished and the symbolic darkness maintained until the first service on Easter morning, including any service on Good Friday. The prayer book service for Good Friday provides three collects. The first was adapted by Archbishop Cranmer from the Gregorian Sacramentary. Almighty God, we beseech thee graciously to behold this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was contended to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost ever, one God, world without end. Amen. The illustration is a recent photograph of a Byzantine Orthodox apse mosaic of Christ crucified in a cave church in Turkey, photographed by George Jansun Jojan, who released it into the public domain. The second collect was adapted from the Gregorian Sacramentary. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, Receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before thee for all estates of men in thy holy church, that every member of the same in his vocation and ministry may truly and godly serve thee through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The illustration is a 19th century stained glass window of Christ crucified at St. Gertrude's Church, Stockholm, Sweden. The third collect was written in the early 1500s by associates of Archbishop Cranmer and based upon collects 7, 8, and 9 of the Roman Catholic Rite of that day. The first half is a restatement of the collect for Ash Wednesday. The phrase, "one flock and one shepherd," is inspired by John 10, verse 16. O merciful God, who hast made all men, and hatest nothing that thou hast made, nor desirest the death of a sinner, but rather that he should be converted and live, have mercy upon all who know thee not as thou art revealed in the gospel of thy Son. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of thy word, and so fetch them home, blessed Lord, to thy fold, that they may be made one flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. The illustration is a 19th century stained glass window of Christ taken down from the cross at the Cathedral of St. John in Den Bosch, Netherlands. The epistle reading for Good Friday is Hebrews 10:1-25, an essay on the new covenant planted in the heart compared to the old covenant written based on written law and sacrificial ritual. The gospel reading is John 19:1-37, St. John's account of the crucifixion and death on the cross, ending with a reference to two Old Testament prophecies. The illustration, descent from the cross, is a 14th century Byzantine Orthodox icon at the Church of St. Marina in Kallipaliagios, Cyprus, near Nicosia. Recognizable figures are Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene, and the Blessed Virgin. In my former parish, we never celebrated Holy Communion on Good Friday. Instead, with the help of a lay reader and occasionally a guest clergyman, I offered In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory. The service began at noon and ended just after ninth hour, or 3 p.m. I researched and wrote the text based upon a series of prayers and scripture readings written for the first Good Friday after World War II by the Bishop of Lexington, Kentucky. To that base, I added several prayers from the Eastern Church tradition of St. John Chrysostom. Following the introductory remarks is a series of readings, many homilies, and a verse in response based upon the seven words from the cross in the 1940 hymnal. Afterward, the church was darkened and the people were asked to depart in silence. The full text is available in the previously mentioned publication, Occasional Services for Anglican Worship. Often overlooked is the final service for Lent, Easter Even, which marks the official end of the Lenten season. In modern times, except in large parishes, Easter Even is rarely celebrated. The collect for Easter Even has been attributed both to the martyred Archbishop of Canterbury, William Laud, who was executed in 1545 AD, and John Cosin, the Bishop of Durham in northern England. Grant, O Lord, that as we are baptized into the death of thy blessed Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, so by continual mortifying our corrupt affections we may be buried with him, and that through the grave and gate of death we may pass to our joyful resurrection, for his merits, who died and was buried and rose again for us, the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The illustration is an oil on canvas of Archbishop Laud, painted circa 1636 AD by an unknown artist in the style of Van Dyck, from the collection of the National Portrait Gallery in London. The epistle reading is 1 Peter 3:17-22, St. Peter's commentary reflecting the unwritten kerygma, the unwritten but widely understood doctrine circulated in the years before the Nicene Creed. In this respect, it is similar to St. Paul's letter to the Philippians read on Palm Sunday. The illustration is a 6th century mosaic of St. Peter at the former Byzantine capital, Constantinople. The Gospel reading is Matthew 27, 57-66, an account of the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene, and the Blessed Virgin. It is a continuation of St. Matthew's narrative from the Palm Sunday reading. The illustration is a detail from the Entombment of Jesus, a late 19th century mosaic at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Other AIC resources for subjects discussed in this episode are my podcast homilies for Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, and as mentioned, the 8 parts of In the Cross of Christ Thy Glory for Good Friday, and the Kerygma entry, page 127 in Layman's Lexicon, all available using the links at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Thank you for joining me for Episode 3, the final episode in the AIC seasonal video series, Lent AD 2018. I invite you to watch our upcoming seasonal videos for Easter and Trinity seasons. These are expected to be released to be available later in 2018 before the start of each of the seasons. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and use its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.